Welcome to the LP Lounge, presented by Hip Dad Radio. If you are looking to discover new music, appreciate older tunes, or learn more about your favorite bands, this is the place for you. Come on in and take a seat with your host, Ree Rinaldi. Every week, we will peel back the curtains, giving you an intimate look at the lives and creative processes of musicians. Now let's dive into some music.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to the very first episode of the LP Lounge, brought to you by Hip Dad Radio. I'm your resident DJ and host, Ree Rinaldi. Today, I'm talking with Veronica Murashige, a Chicago-based mixed Asian American musician who enjoys creating dancey bass grooves with her band, Cloud Tone. She is originally from Southern California, but has lived in Chicago for 8 years and has been making music in and around the city for 3.5. In her spare time, she enjoys playing guitar and ukulele for herself, going to the grocery stores, and learning Japanese. Veronica, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Reed.
My pleasure. So I plan on starting each show with the same question for each of my guests. It's pretty easy. What was the first live show you ever went to go see?
So I guess the first live show that I went to see was like classical music with my parents, because they forced me and my brother to attend these and I hated it as a child. And then when I was, in the ninth grade, I went to go see The Who with my mom.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah, she was a fan. It was at the Nokia Theater in LA, if you went there last year. And that like changed me. I was like, this is really cool. So yeah. I think that's like my first official.
I definitely count that as your first official. Mine was like some country artist that my parents dragged me to, and I never count that as my own. No, I didn't choose to go to that one. It doesn't count.
Was it like a famous country artist?
Oh, it was really famous. It was like a sold out show at the United Center. And the funny part is I fell asleep in the middle of the show. I laid down. It was my parents and my sister. And so we had four seats and we were close to the stage, by the way. And I was so bored. I laid down on all four of our seats and fell asleep. I was like 9 years old. I did not want to be there.
Who was it?
You know, I actually don't remember who it was.
Gotcha.
You know, I was asleep for it. It was that unforgettable.
Nice.
Well, I imagine seeing The Who has got to be like a pretty big influence for you to like maybe get into music, was it?
Yeah. So I feel like a lot of my like modern-ish influences came from my mom, and it was just a lot of like rock bands. Like she was really into the Red Hot Chili Peppers, and we kind of got into the White Stripes together and like the Arctic Monkeys and that. Yeah. And like, even though The Who was like pretty old, like 10 years ago, and they're older now, they still put on a great show.
Yeah. They're probably still rocking.
Yeah. Oh, so I mentioned Odd Pod, and Audrey, who hosts that, she was a touring cellist for them last year.
A touring cellist?
Yeah. She played cello for their tour.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Coincidence.
I remember one of my first experiences with The Who, because my dad always played it in the car when I was a kid, but they played the Super Bowl halftime show.
And, what was that?
Oh, man, it was the first time the Giants and the Patriots were in the Super Bowl. So it must have been 2008, I think, is when they played the halftime show. I think I was in seventh grade.
Okay.
And I thought that was like the coolest thing ever, seeing them play. And I know that you don't really play your instruments that much at the halftime show. A lot of it is recorded, so that, because you're on, it's like one of the most watched things ever.
Yeah.
And a lot of it is recorded ahead of time, but I still thought it was awesome.
I'm not a big sports person.
Well, that's all right. I know a lot of people that watch the Super Bowl just for the halftime show and the commercials.
That is also true, yeah.
So but I don't want to assume anything about anybody.
Like football. Is football still a thing right now?
They're I don't know. They're trying to figure it out with quarantine and college football is not a thing. A lot of college football is getting canceled.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you for the updates.
You got it. If you need any other sports updates, let me know. All right.
Will do.
So I want to ask you, I saw your live set on YouTube of you guys playing at the Sub T. Very cool. I live right around the corner from there.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, I'm like a 10-minute walk from the Sub T. So the Demo's Pizza Place right around the corner from there, I'm there like every weekend. And so I see, you know, the huge lines, everybody smoking cigarettes outside of Sub T. It's really weird. Like sometimes it's half rap scene, sometimes it's punk scene. They have a really wide variety of shows there. What was it like when you performed there?
It was actually really fun. There was a band, Circle with Lines, that reached out to us who – we knew one of the members, and he was like, we're releasing an EP. This is going to be our EP release show. Like, do you want to be on this? And we were like, yeah, sure. And I had really low expectations because it was like, I think it was like a Wednesday night in January.
Uh-huh.
It's like, nobody's going to show up.
Well, that's pretty cool that you got to play at the Sub T. Have you played in any other venues in Chicago?
Oh, yeah. Also, when you mentioned Demo's, when I was in a band before Cloud Tone, somebody that we knew was like coordinating shows there. So we actually played there once, and then we got pizza afterwards. And I remember there was like a macaroni and cheese one.
Oh, yes. Did you get the vegan mac and cheese?
Probably.
That's really good.
This is 3 years ago, but I do remember they had really interesting pizzas.
That's awesome. Do you have a favorite venue to go to in Chicago?
Oh yeah. And you also asked where else we've played. I enjoy going as an audience member to Empty Bottle.
Mm-hmm.
One of my favorite shows. Are you a fan of Hani Al-Khatib or the Buttertones?
I actually have never heard of them.
Okay. They're kind of like, the Buttertones are definitely like surf rock, and then Hani is more like angry rock music that I enjoy. But that was really fun. And Sleeping Village, also great.
Yep, another great one.
They like, their beer selection is really good. And I think like they even have hard kombuchas that I've tried. So light and refreshing, and you get a little buzzed from it. But we played there. That was for another band's release. It was Space Gators. Also in January, they released an LP. And that was another, like, who's going to turn out to this, because it's January, but, like, a really fun night, too.
Absolutely. I mean, I am no stranger to going on shows on weekdays. I think there's a lot of really good shows that get played. And obviously, it's going to pack more on the weekends because people are looking for something to do. But People show up to these shows. It's not very expensive. You know, it's 10 to 20 bucks to get in the door, and you pay a couple bucks for a beer. I think more people than you expect are happy to go see a show on a Tuesday or a Wednesday even.
Yeah, it's surprising, but like, I am also one of those people that will go.
I'm right there with you.
I just think I'm like outside the norm, apparently. I don't know.
It's definitely what I miss most about quarantine. I think I could do fine without going to the bars again for a while, but I really miss going to see live shows and spending like almost no money getting drunk on tall boys. I got to ask you, so obviously the weather in Southern California is pretty great.
Yes.
Where you're from. What was it like when you moved to Chicago and you had to experience the Chicago winters?
I feel like I also experienced a sort of shock. I knew what I was heading into, but the first winter that I was here, the first day it snowed. I don't think I could process it, because I was like, okay, I've been to the mountains and I can live in this for like 3 days, but for several months, this is kind of terrifying to think about.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't know. I keep living here.
Why?
I guess like my friends.
Yeah. That's what keeps me here too.
That's the reason. When I decided to live here after college, it was like, oh, okay, like I like the city. There's the CTA. I feel comfortable here. My friends are here. And then I also was like, when they move away, I'll move away. It'll be all good. And then I didn't take into account like meeting new people and making new friends, and then also starting music here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I feel like my roots have just kind of deepened. I always think about going back to SoCal, but I don't actually make moves to.
It's tough. Do that. It's tough to move, you know, halfway across the country.
Yeah, people do it though.
They do.
I'm not one of them. Yeah.
So I want to talk a little more about your music making process, and specifically how being in quarantine has affected that. Obviously, like, you know, before March came around, you guys were able to get together and record. And I don't know how you guys record, but I would imagine it's kind of tough being separate.
Yeah. So again, pre-quarantine, things were looking really good. We were having fun. We had shows lined up. Literally the week before everything shut down, we almost got to play for Bernie Sanders, but then that did not happen.
No way. When he was doing his rally in Millennium Park?
Yeah, because I had a friend who worked for his events, And she was like, oh, hey, can you do this in like 2 days? And then they ended up not being able to host a band because of like licensing stages or whatever. Was like, I would have peaked if that actually happened. So maybe it's good that it didn't. So I have a different time to peak one day. But then we had a show. So I went to that rally just like as a guest. And then we had a show that night. And then we had a show that Tuesday. And other things lined up, and we were like, okay, maybe we'll tour this summer, we'll release a few EPs, it'll be really good. And then quarantine happened, and we didn't see each other for maybe the first 2 months. And then restrictions were lifted a little bit, and we were like, well, life is gonna keep going like this, and we have to take some risk to, you know, continue living in general.
Absolutely.
So we started practicing, you know, like with masks, and two of them have cars, so just
that's
driving,
a big help.
Yeah, to and from practices like that. But it used to be like maybe every 3 weeks or three times a week we would practice, and then it became like one every other week, and then I think it's now like maybe about two a week again.
So it really slowed down your creative process.
It did. It was really sad. And we also were considering recording and like shooting ideas remotely with each other, but we just never got motivated enough to do that.
Yeah, it's also tough if one person doesn't have good internet, it doesn't really line up very well. And that's kind of a lot.
Yeah, I even got one of these... I don't even know what it's called. One of my bandmates just linked it to me, and I was like, okay. But it's one of those like input boxes, so I could connect the bass to the computer.
Oh, an M-Track?
No. It's the Behringer Euphoria UM2. It's like a digital input kind of... I'm not sure, but it allows you to record on your computer. But I haven't even used it yet because we haven't tried. Yeah, so we were like, okay. We took inspiration for this idea from Grizzly Bear because we had read how, I think their most recent record was put together that way because they all lived in different states. So they would just like record ideas and send them to each other. And again, it just never happened with us. So luckily... we're getting together in person and making ideas like that once again.
That's good. I find that your creative process definitely has helped a lot when you're recording and practicing with people in your band, or even if they're not in your band, by jamming, you're kind of able to branch out and see new things. Have you noticed in your practice on your own away from your band, maybe your style or your taste developing in one direction while a band member's going in the other direction?
Yeah, I definitely enjoy being in a band because if I get stuck on something, there's always, you know, a few people to bounce ideas off with and continue an idea when I'm, you know, again, have no idea how to move forward with it. And then alone, I feel a lot less motivated because nobody but myself is holding me accountable, and that's apparently not enough.
Yeah, I sympathize with that.
Yeah. But yeah, I feel like my style when I am alone is a lot more different because it's just like me, you know, I'm not much of a guitarist, but just like playing guitar and just knowing like a few chords and not really much else. But I think it's fun to do. I don't know if I'd be ready to like share anything I wrote for myself.
So you're practicing guitar in quarantine too?
Yeah. Yeah. I have a guitar here. I have a ukulele here. I've also been trying to practice singing more. One thing that I never did beforehand was like look up singing exercises, and they have a bunch of those available on YouTube. So that's been fun. I've been going on a lot of walks, and luckily, like having my mask on, nobody can really see what I'm doing. So I feel, you know, more anonymous if anybody does catch me like doing a singing exercise out in public.
That's good. You kind of take away from that shame element.
Yeah, no shame.
How do you see, like, obviously all industries are trying to adapt to COVID right now, but are you seeing any big changes in the music industry that you think are going to last past coronavirus?
Well, I guess the one thing that's been on the rise is like live streaming performances, which we did for the first time on Friday, and it was fun. But when I've like quote unquote attended those, it really isn't the same as an in-person show.
Yeah,
like the feeling just isn't there, and you know, like the sound isn't the same, of course.
Let me ask you something, because I haven't watched any of these online shows yet. I think a big part of the in-person music experience and going to see shows is like the sound check and the getting ready for bands to play. Do they still do the sound checks on the live stream, or do they just start streaming when the band's ready?
Oh yeah, we definitely had a sound check. So all of us got on the Zoom call maybe a half hour before, and then the people hosting were like, okay, let's hear from you too. And then if it sounded fine, if the sound was coming through, then they're like, good to go. And that was it. Yeah.
Did they stream any of the sound checks?
No. Which is probably for the better.
Yeah, I'm with you right there. Do you think the genres of music that people are putting out are changing in quarantine? Like, I know a big one that you would imagine is probably doing pretty well is something like bedroom pop, right?
I think that's just like a big meme right now. Like, oh, or I just see memes about it where you're like, I was going to make this quarantine album. And, but like artists actually have made quarantine albums like Charlie XCX. And I feel like Glass Animals have done some interesting covers. But I don't know. I definitely have been trying to learn more about DAWs. And on Facebook, I met some people who don't live in Chicago. I think one is in New Jersey and the other one is in like Oregon. And we were like, we could totally make a song together remotely. And that's not something I would have thought about, you know, if I was satisfied with my musical experiences in Chicago in general. That hasn't really moved forward yet, because again, working with people remotely is hard.
Yeah, it is tough. That was actually the next question I was going to ask you. I was going to ask you about collaborating online. And since, you know, you collaborate online with someone who maybe lives a couple minutes away from you, the opportunity to do it with people who are on the other side of the country or a different state has come up. So it's good to hear that people are really talking and branching out to new people about collaborating.
Yeah, we as a band have reached out to other Chicago artists, where, again, probably would not have happened if quarantine was not happening. And being like, oh, there's this idea that we have. Do you want to like add to it? And then like making a song together with this other band or musician. But, you know, the follow through or actually completing something, it just, it's hard to keep people accountable and make sure that it actually happens. Because I think we've reached out, like reaching out to a few people on Instagram, sending them a track, and then they're like, yeah, sure. And we're all like positive about it. And then weeks pass by and then nothing comes of it. And we're like, is this still a thing? It's hard to know.
Yeah, it's definitely hard. I've noticed for myself, and I know a lot of people that I'm around, is like just their creativity and motivation in quarantine has been stunted, just because you can spend all day doing nothing and the day's over and you don't even realize it. And I feel like when you have things to do and places to go and your mind's going, it's really easy to keep that energy and that momentum and use that in a really positive way, like creativity for music. And a lot of that is gone for a lot of people.
Yeah, definitely. And there's people on the other side of the argument that are like, oh, I have so much free time, I can use this productively. And I think that's how I wanted to view myself or quarantine. But then it's hard because, you know, like the reason we're in this is because there's a terrible pandemic happening and it's okay to not be productive. And I see posts about that and it's just like very validating to know like you're not alone in being unproductive and just like really distracted all the time.
So you guys have a new single coming out, right?
Yes. So we did, you know, instead of like making a couple of EPs, we did end up being able to record one song, right, so far. And it was actually something that was played at the Sub T show. And that is currently being mixed and hopefully will come out in a few weeks. Okay. It's been hard to be back and forth with people remotely all the time.
Yeah, but, totally understand. Well, yeah, when that's out and the mix is out, we'll release the episode and we'll include a link to the show notes so everybody listening to the show right now can go check it out.
Okay. Yeah, that's exciting. We're also trying to like find maybe like somebody to do an animation for it and just talking to people about cover art right now. So we're in the process. It's like almost there.
Slowly but surely.
Slowly but surely, yeah. Just
well, hopefully by the time this comes out, the single will be out. Can you tell our listeners where else they can find you guys?
Yeah, we're on Spotify. If you just search Cloud Tone, it's one word. We have an Instagram page also, just searching that. Facebook, Bandcamp, you know, all the normal platforms you can find a band.
Awesome. Well, Veronica, thank you so much for being on the show. It was a lot of fun talking to you.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Thanks for tuning in. For more information on today's episode, click the link on your podcast players for our show notes. To stay up to date on everything Hip Dad Radio, follow us on Instagram at Hip Dad Radio. See you next time. Just a shadow of your blinking doubt.
There's no